Good morning, church.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and tell them that God has a great plan for your life. Okay, how many of you received that? Because I heard a lot of people kind of laughing. I mean, but he really does. He really does have a great plan for each of our lives. Before my family and I came to Santa Clara First Baptist Church, I was a pastor in downtown San Jose at an inner city church filled with diversity. Many low-income families, and many unemployed. This was a non-denominational church that had Pentecostal roots and really relied and called on the Holy Spirit through prayer and through much fasting. My knowledge of the Holy Spirit really grew. And my faith radically transformed being around a group of people that totally relied on God. I had a real misconception of who the Holy Spirit is prior to going to that church. And when I started to see signs and wonders and miraculous things happen through just ordinary people, I was blown away. When some of you hear the word Holy Spirit, what do you think about? Do you think that I might go all charismatic on you and start making you feel uncomfortable and freaking you out? Do you think of the conservative Christian that maybe doesn't believe in operating in word and deed in the Holy Spirit? I mean, there's many stereotypes. Maybe some are true. But a stereotype is a misinformed perception that becomes a part of your value system. A person or church filled with the Spirit of God is a powerful display of His presence and produces fruit. From my perspective, churches today mostly speak and teach about God and Jesus, but neglect the Holy Spirit. I feel there's a big gap between what we read in scriptures about the Holy Spirit and how most believers in churches operate today. The Holy Spirit is an essential part of a believer's existence. I mean, the Spirit led the first Christians to do crazy and unexplainable things, to live lives that just didn't make sense, and to ultimately spread God's love and God's grace around the world. To me, it's very obvious that many churchgoers are dissatisfied with the church to some degree. Some have even left the church never to return. I've heard people say that, hey, there's just something missing in church today. Others complain, gossip, infect the church with negativity. But I believe that something missing isn't a church program. It's not church leadership. I think that thing that's missing is the Holy Spirit. I mean, without Him, people and churches start to operate in their own power and in their own flesh. And then God doesn't receive any credit or any glory. But when followers live in the power of the Holy Spirit, the evidence is so amazing. And we start to see supernatural things and transformation happening within the church body and within individual lives. I mean, my sermon today is titled, Let's Go, Let Go So You Can Grow. I mean, think about that for a minute. What do we need to let go of for us to grow? For me, I need to constantly work on just letting go of my own pride, of my own ways, how I do things, but not necessarily how God wants me to do things. To let go of my own desires, my own dreams, instead of pursuing the dreams and purpose that God has for me in my life. It's difficult. It's a struggle for me to be able to release that kind of control that I want over my life. So let's talk about who is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. He is a person. He is not a force and not only a power. The Holy Spirit is the person, the power, and the presence of God. I mean, the Bible describes the Holy Spirit as our helper, as our teacher, as our advocate, as a friend. In Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In John 14, verses 16 through 17, before Jesus was crucified, he told his disciples, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives and now, and you will see him later. Jesus also told his disciples in Acts 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, the ends of the earth, in Santa Clara, in Campbell, in San Jose, in Fremont, in Cupertino, in Saratoga, everywhere. You see, the Spirit of the Lord fills us when we are born again, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Isaiah 61:1 says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. I mean, this verse is a powerful verse, and a verse that I continue to claim because I can't operate in my own flesh. I have to constantly call on the Holy Spirit to work through me and in me through all circumstances and through every part of my life. You know, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than use clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. And so preparing this message today, I spent all week just asking the Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to speak on? What do we need to hear? What do we need to receive? And it was like 5 o'clock in the morning that God said, okay, speak on this. I think it's difficult to trust, to make decisions based on prayer, based on seeking the word, based on wise counsel, and allowing ourselves to be vulnerable and to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to make decisions that may not make logical sense at that moment. But I think the amazing thing is when we start to see God move in our lives or in other lives, and we see that things are making sense, and we start to see things connect like a puzzle. Why this happened, or why he chose us to do this or to do that, then I think we can start to believe and trust with greater measure. In Zechariah 4:6, one of my favorite verses, I'll read 6 and 7. Then he said to me, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, may God bless it. May God bless it. Zerubbabel was a civic leader of Jerusalem, and his task was to rebuild the temple. He wasn't moving fast enough, and things were stalling. And Zechariah had this vision, and he shared it with Zerubbabel. See, Zerubbabel was moving by might, by resources of others, and by power, which is an individual power. He wasn't moving through the Holy Spirit. And then God started to speak to him and started to teach him and to explain to him why he needed to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, that very spirit that Zerubbabel was working through was the breath, the ruah of the Lord that works in all creation, that worked through Genesis, through Exodus, through our own lives. That breath of God, the Holy Spirit, is that power inside us when we accept Jesus into our hearts and into our lives. So think about it. Sometimes we want to know, well, what are the benefits of doing things? You know, what is the benefit of being filled with the Holy Spirit. One benefit is a life encountered. That your life can be filled with the Holy Spirit like the believers in the early church. I mean, they had a strong encounter with God and received this intimate presence with Him. And if you want a life encountered, and if you want a life that's close to the Lord, then that's one reason and one benefit to call on the Holy Spirit. Next, a life transformed. I mean, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, and their lives were radically transformed. And in this place here, I'm sure lives have been radically transformed. And I'm sure you know others and have seen their lives transformed. The third reason why you should be filled with the Holy Spirit is a life empowered. It was after being filled with the Holy Spirit that the New Testament disciples had a bold gospel witness. Do you have a desire to fulfill the Great Commission? Do you have a hunger to spread God's love and God's grace? Do you have a desire to fill this church's mission, discipling the people of Santa Clara County? I mean, there's evidence in many stories of the Holy Spirit at work in the Bible. I mean, Peter healed a lame beggar, and David defeated Goliath. Gideon was able to defeat a multitude of men with only 300 men. Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit after he regained his eyesight. Stephen performed amazing miracles and signs. And Peter and John spoke with boldness before the council. And the council realized that they were untrained, uneducated men, but the power of the Holy Spirit filled them and poured out. And in the book of Acts, we read just how God added thousands to the church because the Holy Spirit was given to all. You see, Jesus told his disciples that an advocate would be coming, which was Jesus' spirit after he resurrected. The spirit of Jesus, which is the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us. And that spirit poured out at Pentecost. That spirit should be alive in the church today. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, there's a powerful scripture that I continue to just call upon and claim, especially when I'm asked to teach or to preach. And that scripture is, "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom." You know, and Sharon has led this song, you know, many times in this church. And when we sing that song together as a church body, I feel God's presence. I feel through the worship that there is liberty, there's freedom for the Holy Spirit to move. The question is, are we allowing the Holy Spirit to have liberty and to have freedom in our own lives? Are we willing to let go so we can grow? Are we willing to put aside our own pride, our own desires, our own ways, our own control, for the Holy Spirit to have freedom to move in our lives? If we are, and if we have been, then we have seen fruit and transformation and spiritual growth in our life. Others may have come up to you and have expressed that they've seen a great change since you received Christ, or they've seen some transformation over the years through your character, through your integrity, maybe through your act of service, through your love. In order to have a transformative life, we need to be able to let go. We need to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to move freely within us. The Holy Spirit has been guiding me and teaching me many things over the years. Do I always listen? No. Do I miss out on opportunities? Yes. But I try. I try to allow the Holy Spirit to move freely. I try to meet God in the silence. And I've seen the Holy Spirit move through my personal life, through X Factor, through the work at City Team. But just over the recent years, I've been able to piece things together and to see what his plan was and where it's going and possibly, you know, where it's going to be. I've been seeing the purpose and the calling and the destiny that he's been revealing in my life. 12.5 years ago, you know, I was blessed with a teaching position at the Academy of Art University in San Francisco, teaching film. A couple years after that, God opened a door for me to accept a full-time position, teaching in an administrative position. He started to really put the students in the school on my heart, and I started to intercede and to pray for this campus in San Francisco that was growing leaps and bounds, and that students didn't know God, that this was the art community, students wanting to be different, trying to find their voice, trying to make a mark in the art world with just radical ideas and lifestyles. A year after that, on an X Factor retreat, God put in my heart, he said, go to the president of the university and tell her that you want a promotion, that you want to be vice president of the Academy of Art University. I shared that with those at the retreat. And I thought, okay, that's crazy. So I call up on Monday and I said, I'd like to make an appointment with the president of the Academy of Art. So I got on the books. A couple appointments were canceled, but then finally I got the appointment with her. The Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and with boldness, like Peter and John, I started to witness to her. I started to ask her what she believed. She didn't necessarily believe in God, but she had Christian values and morals. Then I said, I'd like to be vice president of the Academy of Art. And she said, you would. I said, yes, I have gifts and talents that are not being utilized, and I think I could really help the university. She didn't laugh at me. She was professional. She said, okay, let's have a meeting. So I had a meeting with her and two other VPs. 3 days later, I was promoted to the associate director of the School of Motion Pictures and Television. And the director that was in charge of motion pictures was fired. The associate moved up and I moved up. And it was confirmation that God was giving me authority and status to do His work on campus, not just teach classes and do administrative opportunities, but to really figure out, okay, how do we change and transform this place? How do we bring God into the school? Because the talent that would be graduating would be out there in the media, in the entertainment world, in the places where God needs to be glorified. So God started to just move. You know, things opened up, and I started meeting students that were believers, and I started an underground prayer movement called Fight Club. And if you've ever seen the film Fight Club and understand Project Mayhem, the first, second, and third rule is don't tell anybody about Fight Club. And so it became underground. And every Friday for 5 years, we prayed on my office floor, because my office was small, and students would just come in and just be sitting on top of each other, and we would be praying and breaking just the word open for two hours at a time. And this movement started to spread, and God started to be glorified, and unity started to happen. And we started to pray for the president of the university and all the leaders and the entire school. And then after the 5 years, Fight Club evolved to become above ground and became a campus church. And there was lots of opposition, adversity, warfare, but the students were hungry and were leading and were passionate. And we were like the early church, because there were no boundaries when the Spirit of the Lord is moving in us. And like Acts 2, 42 through 47, we broke bread together, we hung out, we taught, we helped each other out. And then just 2 years ago, God brings me this opportunity. Santa Clara University calls and says, you should apply for this teaching position in the communication department. I said, okay, that'd be nice. I could walk 4 blocks to work, not commute for 3 hours on a train, 5 hours if somebody gets hit by a train. Makes sense. But this was a 1 year teaching position. 1 year, I'd make 40% less if I went to Santa Clara. No status, no authority. I have to share an office. And I have to teach communication classes as well as film classes in a Jesuit school. Nothing wrong with a Jesuit school, but I'm used to the artists and being creative and crazy. So, Allison and Ayla and I, we prayed for a long time. And we decided, okay, I have nothing to lose. You know, I have a job. So this was a national search, this position. I end up getting an interview. A few weeks later, I get the job. And now the dilemma is, okay, God, now what do I do? I mean, where I wasn't perfect. You know, there were issues just like anywhere else. But I knew the job well. And I had security. So this is where I was just struggling and praying and asking the Holy Spirit for guidance, for help. And so I think Allison was the first to receive confirmation that I should go, that we would be okay financially, taking a 40% hit. Ayla wanted me to obviously go to Santa Clara because I would be home. But my real question was, okay, God, where do you want me to do your work? Where can I make the most impact as you work through me? In the Academy of Art, basically, he said, I was done there. That others would come along and pick up what I was doing, and they would do the work. You see, X Factor is across the street from Santa Clara University. And for years, I tried to break in to Santa Clara to be able to meet those students on that campus, because I had a real heart for that campus, since that was my community, my neighborhood. So within 2 short years, God has moved in miraculous ways. Me accepting that position on faith, on a 1-year contract, not knowing if I would have a job after the 1 year, ended up being extended 2 more years. And because of just how the Holy Spirit moves in miraculous ways, I'm believing that people are fighting for me, especially God, that I'll be offered a permanent position there. Because in 2 short years, I've seen equal amount of fruit as in 10 years at the Academy of Art. That the favor that is increasing, that the divine appointments, that the things that I'm learning have been inspiring. That the first year was tough. That God stripped me, humbled me, broke me down. And now into the 2nd year, I see his plan. I see lives being changed. I see students going back to God. I see the Christian club that God has given me favor to speak into their lives and to mentor and disciple. That they're so on fire for him that all 60 of those students want to see transformation and revival on campus before they graduate. My story is an ordinary story that I'm sure has happened to many of you. Just trusting in the Lord, allowing him to lead. And us following and seeing our lives transformed. I'm convinced there is a desperate need in the church for the Holy Spirit to be given freedom to move. The church becomes irrelevant when it becomes purely a human creation. creation. 2 Sundays ago, I asked this church, is your relationship with the Lord distant, on hold, or maybe non-existent? I received a Facebook post that somebody said that their life was non-existent with the Lord. And I mentioned then that we need to take ownership, responsibility for our faith. That nobody's going to make us do anything. That we have to choose God. If you are truly dissatisfied with your life, and you want a life encountered, a life transformed, a life empowered, I challenge you this week to spend time in prayer with the Holy Spirit. Prayer opens the door for the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. Prayer is how we communicate in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And as the worship team comes up, I'm going to read this scripture. And I want you to meditate on this week from Romans 8, 26 to 27. Because sometimes we don't know what to pray for. And sometimes we think we just have to talk constantly to God. But we can sit. We can listen. And Romans 8, 26 to 27 says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will." So as we pray together here, Lord, we just thank you for your Spirit and for your presence. I pray, Father, that you continue to soften and open our hearts to receive you fully. Work in and through us, Lord God, so we can do your will, so you can be glorified. I pray now, Lord, that you would just give us a hunger and thirst to want to know you more, to be filled with your Holy Spirit, so we can do the signs and wonders that you told your disciples that they would do greater works after you left. And I know, Lord, that you want to use each one of us to build your kingdom on earth and to spread and share your love and grace. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.